We're going to pursue a thought today that's going to be in line with what I told you last Sunday. And the title of this is going to be, You've Been Served. You've Been Served. And kind of in our modern English, it would be more like, You Got Served. Okay? You got served. Has anybody ever told you that before? You got served, or you've been served. All right, so in our modern English, in the Urban Dictionary, this is kind of an aggressive attitude towards somebody. You've been served. It's this attitude of pride, like I just owned you. Does that make sense? Or not like I bought you, but I'm better than you. And so I just beat you at something. So an example could be, let's say this morning that we were going to have a competition at this church of some sort, and two people come in and they compete. Maybe it's a singing competition. And so they come in and they're holding their microphones, and one sings a song, and the other sings a song, and then we say, who sings it better? And so we applaud for one or the other. Well, that person who's holding the mic who won might just look at the other and say what? You got served, right? And they'd drop their mic and they'd walk out of here like they owned the place, okay? That's what it means in one context. You've been served, okay? That is not what we're after today. We're not looking for a bunch of Christians to go around dropping mics everywhere, whatever it is. Walking into your place of work and going, I'm the best here, right? You couldn't do it without me. Or walking out of a restaurant going, I'm the best tipper you've ever seen. Boom, all right? That's not what it's about. That's not the attitude we're after. So I just wanted to clarify that. You may have experienced this phrase in another way in your life. Anybody ever knocked on your front door? And you open the door and you're like, I don't recognize you. You look like you are an officer. Have I done something wrong? And so you open the door and he proceeds or she proceeds to hand you a packet of papers. Maybe you're being sued for something, or you're being politely requested to come to visit a courtroom on a specific date. All right, and so oftentimes they'll hand you a packet, and then they'll say, you've been served, okay? Sometimes that happens in divorce, where you've got somebody who won't sign the papers, and so they'll hire a private investigator to track the man or woman down. They find him, they hand him the papers, and go, here you go, buddy, sister. You've just been served. All right, so we're not talking about that either today. I just want to make sure we throw out those two ideas of serving, and let's get to what the Bible talks about, which is what we're after here this morning. We're going to be in 1 Peter 4, by the way, if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, so you can follow along there or on the wall or in your bulletin as well today, 1 Peter chapter 4. But what we really want to look at is to talk about how God has served us, and what does that mean to us, for us, and what is that supposed to work through us, okay? If God really has served us, if we've really been served, then what does that look like? You know, last week, to help prod this along, I asked you some questions. A couple things, few things really, I wanted you to be thinking about for today. And so one of those questions was, what are you currently doing through the body that is, you're using your gift through the body? And by the body, I mean our church right here. Like, how are you currently ministering through this body, right? So I want you to think about that. When I want you to think about, are you currently doing something that you just don't enjoy doing? Or maybe it's a season that's passed in your life. Like sometimes we say, I have a need, and somebody raises their hand and they say, I'm what? They'll say, I'm willing. It's not that I really want to, but I'll help out if that's what you need. And so maybe you find yourself doing something that you're not really, like your heart's not in, or you're not passionate about. Or maybe there's something that you're like, I really want to do this, and I'm looking for an opportunity to do this. And so I really want to serve in this way. I really want to teach in this way. I really want to encourage in this way. I really want to help in this way. And so I want you to be thinking about, like, what are you currently doing as a member connected to this body, as a service through this body? Now, you may not believe this. It's pretty windy outside today, but God didn't send any of us into this room to make sure these pews don't blow away, right? So we're not pew anchors, and we're thankful for cushioned seats where we can be taught truth and we can be encouraged and reminded of things that are wonderful about God. But here what we're looking at is that's got to progress beyond us. There's purpose beyond that. We have a mission from God. Does that sound familiar? You remember the movie The Blues Brothers? And they were traveling around, and they're trying to get the band back together, right? And so their draw to all these people who once part of the band, they say, hey, we're on a mission from God. And that was supposed to be the draw for all these members to come back and join with this band once again. Well, the Blues Brothers, in that little phrase, they got it right. We're on a mission from God. And that's our purpose here. That's why we're here. And we're going to enjoy things along the way. But the mission is monumental. The mission is preeminent. It's most important. The mission is what we're going to answer for. And so I don't want to come before God saying, man, I held that anchor steady. You know that old song says, the anchor holds. And so I was the anchor that made sure the wind didn't blow that pew out of the building. No, I want to answer and say, I used my gift to serve your church through your church. And so we're going to deal with that today. I believe every one of us in the room, if you're a believer, you've been served. And the Word will help point us that direction today. So if you've got a Bible, let's go to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And you're going to find Peter here writing to some early believers. He's trying to encourage them. He's going to tell them a few things initially. We're not going to read the first six verses, but he says, I want you to live for God. I want you to keep pursuing God. Listen, persecution is on the way. Hard days are just around the corner for you guys. And you're going to feel like you should go back to maybe how you used to live. And so you used to be involved in all sorts of sin and you used to indulge the flesh in all sorts of ways. He's saying, don't go back. Don't retreat. Let's keep going forward. Let's keep pressing on. And here's how I want you to live. And so he says, in light of these days. In light of these days is where we're going to start here. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read verse 7 through 11. See, God's Word serves us. Back then, it served through Peter to these readers. And what's really cool is that it serves us still yet today. I was reading a paper that was kind of going through basement, you know, dealing with stuff there. And you're reading papers that your kids wrote when they were a lot younger. You know, just look at their handwriting and trying to, you know, words didn't connect. And sometimes you just couldn't get the whole story there. So that was written a while ago for them. You know, this was written a long time ago, wasn't it? And it still connects. It's still true. It still speaks right to where people are modern day. So 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 is where we're going to be here this morning. He says, so here we go. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I want to work through primarily, we're going to be in verse 10 and 11 of this text, but they all really function together here in 1 Peter chapter 4. And so we're going to highlight this by saying God has served us in a few different ways, all right? God has served us here a few different ways. If you're following along in your bulletin, you can fill these in if you'd like. You don't have to at all. It's just there for our benefit. So let's begin here. Number one, God has served us by graciously giving various gifts to us. God has served us initially here, we've just read this, by graciously giving various gifts to us. And so I want you to answer a question here for me. You ever feel ordinary? I mean, do you ever feel like I just don't have anything to offer? I mean, in maybe small ways we feel like we do, but maybe in big ways we feel like I just can't really do anything that matters. I mean, why would anybody want to talk with me? What could I ever counsel them in that would be of help to them? What do I have that could be of service to somebody? Like sometimes, I don't know, I feel pretty ordinary. And I think that's probably most of us here. Yeah, I haven't ran into the Christian yet who thought they were extraordinary. Yeah, I've told you, I've got a friend who wakes up every morning, he looks in the mirror and he says, hello, Mr. Fantastic. That's how he starts his day. You just have to know him to know that's just kind of his sarcasm. But I haven't met the Christian who says that yet. Good morning. My name is Mr. Fantastic. All right, I'm better than you. You know, if you follow me, you'll be like Jesus. Nobody's that way. We all just kind of feel like we're kind of ordinary. Like sometimes I don't have anything to offer. But here's the truth of the matter. The Word of God is going to confront this lie in us. And so if you buy into this and say, I just don't have anything to offer, I can't help anyone, what you've just bought is a lie. It's not biblically accurate. Verse 10. We go back to the beginning there of verse 10. We're just going to read the first part of that. It says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Okay, so what does Peter say here? Who should use their gift? All right, so in that text it said, each of you should received, who've received a gift, you should use the gift that you have received. And so to use a gift implies what? It implies that you have a gift, right? And so here Peter's saying, use what you have. God has blessed you with a gift. You're a believer. The Spirit has resided in you, and He has gifted you. So there's not a Christian in this room who is vacant of a gift. Nobody in this room should feel like, I have nothing to offer. I'm of no benefit to God. That's a lie. And so just right up front here, let's start out by saying, I'm not going to buy that lie. Each one of us has received a gift. And we'll get into using that gift here in just a minute. But first, we're talking about how God has given this gift. And so he says at the end of that verse, use the gift as God has given graciously. Now that word grace means, the definition is unmerited favor. It means getting something you don't deserve. You guys know that progression, right? You say, what's justice? Justice is getting what you deserve. The next step is mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And then the next step is grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And so here we've got this various gifts given graciously. God has given something to us that we do not deserve. And he's given it to us in the ways that he saw fit. And so the beautiful thing of this, like, have you ever looked at somebody who stitched like a quilt together, or somebody who did a cross stitch picture, or even like if you turned your clothes inside out, you see the back of the stitching? It doesn't look very pretty, does it? You got all these knots tied together on the back, and you can't really make out the picture on the back of a cross stitch, but you turn that thing around and it's like a masterpiece. And all these just colors are intertwined together, and it just created this beautiful picture. I've got one hanging in my office. It says peace on it. And I'm sure on the back side it looks like a bunch of knots and colors all just wadded up, but the front is beautiful. I think sometimes we see church, we see life from the back of the canvas, from the back of that cross stitch. God sees it from the front, doesn't he? And he goes, man, all these people that I've joined together as a part of this church, it's beautiful. We've gifted them exactly the way that they need to be, but we look at it from the hindsight and go, man, I just don't see it. Like, how does this connect, and what's my gift, and how does that work in partnership with your gift? God has graciously given as he has saw fit to accomplish his purpose. And that's the God we serve, right? You think God would withhold from us what we need to accomplish his mission here when he has all the resources to just dole it out however he wants? No. His church is going to succeed. His mission is going to be accomplished. And so he has gifted everything that's necessary for you and I right here. I sent an article out, I don't know if you read it or not, November 13th, 2015. It said, your church is big enough. Anybody read that? Some of you did, because I know I got comments back from you. Maybe you didn't, and I'm not trying to guilt you at all. Just go back and read it if you want. It's a small church pastor who really wrote to pastors, but I thought it was good for everybody, so I forwarded it to our church family. And what he said is, your church right now is the size that God wants it to be to do what God wants you to do today. Like sometimes we say, we got to get here, then. We have this many people, then. We have this much money, then. We have this kind of people, then. We have these sort of gifts, then. It's like, no. We have everything that we need now, right now, to do exactly what God is asking us to do today. True? All right, so we've been gifted by God, and our gifts are various. And here's some of those that Paul outlines. He does this to the Romans. He does it to the Corinthians as well. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8, he says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So if your gift is prophesying, another form of that is preaching, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Verse 7, if it's serving, then what? Then just serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, this is not meant to be exhaustive. This is not all the gifts that God has. What he's saying is, I'm God, I'm the gift giver, and I give gifts to everyone. So whatever gift you have, what do you do with it? You use it. All right? So that's what we're going to get into here in just a moment. So again, it's not an exhaustive list, but I just want you to know right up front, when you feel like you're of no benefit, you feel like I'm just useless, I've got nothing to offer that's really going to impact or matter eternally, you've just bought the lie. You have been gifted by God. His Spirit's in you, and he wants to work through you to accomplish the mission. And so though you may feel useless, it's not because you are. It's because you've not fully trusted that God has blessed you with a gift. And that's not because I say so. God's Word says so. All right, let's go back to verse 10 here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look how this verse continues, talking about gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so here, I want to focus on the end of this just for a minute. We have various gifts. Your gift won't be mine, mine won't be yours, but they're meant to be complementary, right? They're meant to work together. Different parts of the Bible talk about us being a body. I mean, what would we look like if we were all just an elbow? What could we get done if we had 40 elbows? We'd all just sit here and kind of bend, but we wouldn't be bending anything, would we? We just... No, so we're not all elbows. We've all got different roles to play. No gift is better. No gift is more important. No gift is needed more. They're all equal. Like, think about what part of your body right now you would be okay not having. If that was the mission today, you're going to walk out with one less body part than you walked in with. Anybody like, okay, I got one to spare? No. Anybody give up one eye? No. If I give up one arm? No, because they're all necessary. We want it all together. We want it to work, and that's how it works best. It functions best when every part of the body uses its gift to accomplish that same mission. So we've received various gifts, graciously giving as God saw fit, and in this way he has served us. And so then that just begs the question, we've mentioned it twice already, what are we going to do with it? What am I going to do with the gift that I've received? What you going to do about it? All right, so that leads us to our second point today. God has served us not only by graciously giving various gifts to us, but he has served us so that we would serve others with what we've received from him. And so God has established something in you that's for the benefit of somebody else. Right? So often we've kind of got that me disease. What's God going to do for me? All right? I pray this for me. I go to this church because it's about me. They sing what I like. They teach what I like. They do it my way. And so sometimes we've got that disease of me. What we're seeing here about the gifting is God's put it in me to serve you. And God's put it in you to serve somebody else. And so it's really not about us. Now the Bible has a consistent theme that runs through it. And it starts in Genesis chapter 12. You might remember God tells Abram, you're going to be a blessing to whom? You're going to be a blessing to the whole world. Through you, all nations of the world will be blessed. And so from that, Genesis 12, 2 and 3, we get that little phrase, blessed to be a what? Blessed to be a blessing. And so what God has done in me, God is wanting to do that through me. He's blessed me so that I can be a blessing to others. The New Testament talks about... God has comforted us so we can do what? So we can comfort others in the way that we've been comforted. Okay? So he does this in us to do something through us. Blessed to be a blessing. comforted, so then you in turn can be a comforter. The Bible talks about us learning the Word of God. We've been taught, so we in turn can do what? Teach. The Great Commission says, go unto all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and then what? Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded whom? You. So what I have taught you, now you're to go out and do what? Teach somebody else. So who are you teaching? Who right now in your life is benefiting from what God has done in you? Who is growing in their faith because of the teaching that God has grown you with? Right? This is part of the process. We've been taught so that we can teach others. Paul said the same thing to Timothy. He says, you've been taught, now entrust that teaching to reliable men who will then teach it to other people. And the process has continued. Listen, somebody taught you about Jesus because they were taught about Jesus. Right? And somewhere along the way, you've taught somebody about Jesus. You've talked to your spouse, your children. You've talked to a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, church family member, a stranger. You've talked to somebody about the Lord. And in so doing, what we're trying to do is invest the same teaching in them that we've been blessed with. So blessed to be a blessing. We've been comforted so that we could comfort others. We've been taught so in turn that we could teach. Doesn't the Bible say we freely give? Why do we freely give? All right. So freely you have received, therefore freely give. Okay? So what's to work in us? Church is supposed to work through us, and that's to be for other people. And so here what we see, God has served us, and in return, what's he asking us to do? Serve others. I have served you so that in return, you'll serve others. Let's read it. Back to verse 10 once again. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. And this you do as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so we've been gifted by God for God's purposes. Right? So none of us run around boasting and bragging about how great we are. Anything that we have, remember the Bible says the Father is the gift giver. Every good and perfect gift we've received from the Father. And so he has given us these gifts that we have. So I'm not an owner. I'm just a manager. I'm not an owner. I'm just a steward. I'm not an owner. I'm just a caretaker. Okay? And so how do you treat your money? You treat it like an owner or a caretaker? Did I get serious too quickly? Do we need to back up and kind of ease our way into that one? All right, sometimes I look at my money and it's kind of like this. And you need something and it's kind of like, here. You know, this hand wants to be generous and this one's like, no, but I'm saving for this or I want this. God says, no, you've freely given. You're not an owner. You're just a manager. So steward it my way. Steward it for my purposes. You've received all sorts of gifts. Therefore, use those gifts to the benefit of others, not just to be something that you hoard for yourselves. And so the verse that we read said that we are stewards. Steward faithfully what God's gifted you with to complete your mission. And so the mission is to make disciples of all nations. Now, we could use our gifts in all sorts of ways. Now, I asked you earlier about what are you doing in and through this body that you feel like you're just fueled by. It really pumps you up. It's something you feel like you're using your gift. You're accomplishing the mission through what God's gifted you with. But maybe you feel like, I'm not sure what my gift is or how to use mine. And so if you feel that way, I came up with some things that I thought maybe you could do. And hey, you just jump right on these, okay? I'm going to write your name down because I'm sure you're going to be all over this. So let's say we're going to come up with jobs for everybody because that's what Christians do. They've got a gift and they need to be busy with it and use it to do other things. And so we're going to do other things. So let's say, number one is this. We need somebody to sanitize everything that's touched in here every week. Who wants that one? You want that one? No. So you think about what's touched. I mean, the mailbox is touched. I mean, all the way out there, you got the front doors, the windows, all the doors and handles, all the pews, stands, you got mics, you've got computer stuff and offices, everything in the bathrooms. People touch chairs and tables, all the stuff in the kitchen. So your job, you want this job? No. All right. Every week, this is your job. You come in here and you get that done. Just sanitize everything that's touched because we want to complete the mission. And part of the mission is making sure everybody stays healthy and we don't want anybody sick. And so to make sure nobody gets sick, we're going to sanitize everything. Anybody signing up? I can't believe you people. Are we lacking the gift of sanitation? No, I don't think we are. I just got served. Yeah, that's right. All right, so maybe that's not for you. What about this one? I mean, I think it's important to keep an inventory so you know what you have, right? We keep an inventory of our checking account, savings accounts, things like that. We want to know what we have. And so I need somebody to count rocks. So we've got three flower beds out front. And we've got two right against the church. And if you're really ambitious, you can count the rocks that go down the back driveway. Anybody want to count rocks? And that's a job, and it could keep you busy, and you're a Christian doing something busy, so it must be glorifying to God because some way, supposedly, hopefully, you're using your gift. Nobody's jumping at that one either. What about dusting some mic cords? And we've got these microphones up here, and not just here, but the real mess is when you get below the stage. I don't know if you've ever been under there before, but it's awesome. And it's fully dirty, it's fully dusty. I mean, you come out just looking like a dust mite. And so we want you to dust cables. They go wall to wall, then they run under the floor right here. They go down the middle, and they come up back there magically in that sound booth. We need those dusted every week. So you pull them out, dust them, pull them back in, hook everything back up. Anybody want that job? You're still going to pass? Well, maybe this will fit you a little bit more. What about if we had you to tighten all screws and everything? You've got a bunch of tools, or used to have. You've got the know-how. I mean, you think about all these. They've got screws in them, things holding them together, so our seats are screwed together. Just checking the walls, making sure everything is sound, all the doors. Just every week, you just come through and make sure every screw is tightened. I mean, all I'm saying is I could give you a job that would make you busy, that would take the rest of your life to accomplish, but what's the purpose behind it? And when it gets spring out here, we need people to pull dandelions. And we have a few. So that could be your job. I mean, so many of you know, you just go from front to back and pull out all the dandelions. Does that sound fun? Oh, hey, we're getting closer. We could sign up for that. I mean, that would take a lot of time. That would require a lot of effort. You're a Christian, and I mean, that should be something that God would be honored and pleased with. What about if we just really wanted everything to shine every week? And so on all the trim, and everywhere there's wood stain, we're just going to put a fresh coat of polyurethane on every week. I mean, if 12 coats make something look like a mirror, what is a coat a week going to make something look like? I mean, it's going to be hard to even walk in this room. It's going to be so pristine and so bright. Anybody want that job? You'll be high for the rest of your life. Smelling poly in a closed room. Those are just some jobs. We've also got a whole library full of books. We need somebody to read every book and write a review for us. That way we can recommend them and use those books. Anybody want that job? Nope. I think what tends to end up in there are the books that we've either read or that we don't want any longer. So we're maybe not as interested in those. Doesn't make them bad. It's just kind of already had its work in our life. And so maybe you don't want that one. And so all I'm saying is we can get busy in a hurry as Christians doing what we can do around a Christian building, so to speak. But none of that is working to accomplish the mission. See, I don't think anybody's been given the gift of sanitation or the gift of being able to count rocks or the gift of being able to stain in a way that nobody else can or to tighten screws. I'm not saying that there's not a place for some of those things in a much more reduced fashion. I'm just saying that's not why we've been gifted. There's a bigger purpose beyond the gifting and those sorts of things. Think of it this way. Let's say New Year's resolution was to get stronger. Right, so I'm going to put on some muscle. And so as I consider how I'm going to put on muscle, every night about 9 o'clock, I'm going to eat a quart of strawberry ice cream. Is that going to make me stronger? I mean, by next year, I'll definitely have a different physique if I keep that regimen up, right? But it seems like those two things are just button heads. I'm going to get stronger and healthier as I eat a quart of ice cream every night. Or I've got some consumer debt. And so this is the year that I get out of debt. And so as I think about getting out of debt, I'm buying $100 worth of lotto tickets every day. Comes out to 700 tickets or 700 bucks a week, about $2,800, $3,000 a year, 36 grand on lottery tickets. Does that sound like a good idea? No, but sometimes we live that way. The mission is to make disciples, and so I'm counting rocks. The mission is make disciples. Okay, I'm making sure that mic cords are dusted. No. If this is the mission, then what I'm doing needs to work in partnership with the mission rather than subtract or take away from it. And so let's talk seriously for a few minutes, since none of you bought those things. Maybe you'll buy into some of these. By the way, I'm not the Holy Spirit, and so I'm not here to tell you these are the things that need to happen and you need to sign up for this. These are just some thoughts, and maybe some of these you'd like to latch on to. We've talked here recently about having church cards made. Say Peace Church on them. Hey, we love you. You're invited. Maybe you're going to take on the role of being an inviter. And we're going to buy these by the thousands. And you're just going to pass them out wherever you go. Cashier at the grocery store. You're going to leave it with your tip at the restaurant. You're going to lay it at your neighbor's door. Right? You're going to send it with your check as you pay your bill. Maybe you're looking for a way just to be an inviter. I mean, I want to bring people to Christ, and so maybe that's one of the things I can do. Again, I'm not saying that that's necessary, that somebody has to do it, but maybe you'd say, I'll think about that one a little bit. Maybe it'd be yours to be an encourager. Now, the Bible says if you've got the gift of encouragement, what do? Encourage. And listen, it doesn't just automatically happen because you've got the gift. And so think about your gift, and maybe you'll say things like this. Primarily, these gifts were given to bless the church. Now, we're definitely going to use them outside the church, but here it's talking about brother to brother. And so maybe as an encourager, you're going to say this, once a week, every week, I'm going to pick out one person from my church, and I'm going to bless their socks off. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to call them. I'm going to leave a little something on their doorstep. Just one person a week, just so they know they're not useless, they're loved. We care about them. Maybe they've been going through something. We're praying for you. Anybody have the gift of encouragement? Right? I'm not saying that you need to do that, but you've been gifted. Why? You've been served so that you'll serve others with that gift. So look for a way to encourage somebody. Do it on a regular basis. Commit to something like that. We could have somebody who's interested in helping us put a local mission together here. You know, this area has just been through a pretty devastating time the last few weeks. Somebody pick up a phone and say, hey, Mayor Mike, Peace Church here, what do you need? What can we do? How can we help? What are the needs of these people? Because it's not just temporary. Initially, they needed a place to go. Now what is it? You know, a lot of times when people suffer hardships, there's a lot of help real quick, and then it all just dissipates, and people struggle. When somebody loses a loved one, there's a lot of people that huddle, and for a while they just pray, and they care, and they love, and we all have good intentions, but then life catches up, and we get busy, and we get sidetracked, and it's kind of like sometimes we walk it alone. And so what about these people all around us who are still suffering, who still aren't back in their homes? Maybe you could say, hey, you know, it's going to be my job. I'll just call him and say, hey, Peace Church here, what do you need? I'm not saying we can answer everything on your list, but we will do what we can. This is a community that we're in. We want to show some people love here. So what do you need? What can we do? Maybe you could do something like that. Maybe you feel like you've got a way to connect with people around us. So we could call you a connector. I see some needs around us, and I know how we could put some things together. We could organize it this way, and we could get out and just bless even maybe 5 people, 10 people, 2 families. I think this would be really good for us to be a part of. Listen, that can totally come from you, right? And that doesn't just have to flow from the mind or the gift of a pastor. We've been gifted in various ways so that we can work together. It's not this kind of trickle-down thing like other business organizations may be here. It's like we're all gifted equally. And all of our gifts work together to accomplish this one mission. So maybe you're a connector. Maybe you just say, I'm going to pray. My gift is faith. And I don't doubt God one iota. I believe God is God always, and God can always do what God can always do, and I trust Him fully, whether you believe Him or not. He's God. So your faith just seems to be great. Maybe for you, you'd have great faith in how you pray for people. You know, there's a movie that came out a few months ago. What was it called? War Room. Maybe you take it on yourself to create a church war room. And in this church war room, we're going to put the names of people whose souls we are desperately concerned about, or we need to desperately be concerned about. Not for sister's dog Fido, you know, not for my floating goldfish, but for people. Maybe you'd say, man, that's me. That's what I want to be a part of. That I can do that. I'm not saying we've got to do any of these things. All I'm saying is we can be creative in how God has gifted us to use these gifts to serve people. And so you're not put on a shelf here today. You know, sometimes we get a little disease, and I'm as guilty as anybody. You ever had I-can't-itis? You know that I-just-can't-itis? We've got all sorts of I-can't-itis symptoms. Sometimes there are things like this. I can't because I just don't know how. And therefore, I can't. You know, there was a time in your life when you didn't know how to eat. Did that stop you? No. I bet most of us in this room are pretty accurate with a spoon, a fork, and a knife. Right? Even our children here, we've kind of got that one figured out. We didn't quit because we didn't know how. We stayed after it. So sometimes we just got this itis that says, I don't know how, and since I don't know how, I guess I can't. Now that's wrong. That's just kind of settling short there. I can't because I don't know how. I can't because I just don't have time. Listen, if you and I have been put on this planet to complete the mission of God and we don't have time to complete the mission of God, doesn't it sound like something's out of priority there? If this is what you're here to do and you're spending all your time here, you don't have time to participate in this, man, it seems like something's out of alignment there. If you don't understand my life, you don't understand what I have to go through. I'm not saying that I understand everything you deal with. I'm just saying this is the mission. This is why we're here. I think we can carve out some time to accomplish the mission. But sometimes we have that itis. Sometimes we have an itis that says, I'm just not smart enough. I don't know enough. You know, this really needs somebody that has some know-how, who really has some, like a theological background. I can never teach because I don't understand everything. Listen, if that's the qualification, then who will stand in front of you every week? Nobody. Right? I'll take my seat in the back and I'll start working my way up as God allows. It's not about do you know everything. It's not do you have everything figured out. But sometimes we have this itis that says, I can't talk to people about God because I just don't understand everything about God. I can't talk to people about Jesus because I just don't understand everything about Jesus. Okay, let's get to know Jesus better and let's start telling people about Jesus. The mission's really not that complicated. But sometimes we have an I'm not smart enough itis. Sometimes it's I'm too young. You guys ever feel like you're too young? You guys feel like I can't do anything in the church because I'm just a child. You know, when I get older, I'll have a part to play. I can do something then, but for now, I just kind of, I'm too young. Remember Paul wrote his little friend Tim and said, hey, listen, Timmy, don't let people look down on you because you're young, but you be an example of the believer. Faith, speech, life, love, purity, be an example. And sometimes we say just the opposite. I've got the itis of what? I'm not going to say it. If I'm not too young, then I'm too old. And sometimes that's our itis. We're just like, oh, I just can't do it anymore. I mean, my body hurts. My mind just doesn't think. I just, are you still breathing? I mean, every heartbeat should pump and say, I have a gift. I'm part of the mission. You know, I will serve my God. As long as your heart's still beating, you're still gifted. You still have the Spirit of God. So maybe it's different today. Okay, let's just be a little creative. What can I do with the ability that I do have? the mind that I do have, the time that I do have, the resources I do have, the experiences that I have had. What can I do? Rather than just kind of, I've got an itis. And sometimes we get a church itis. You know, you're not supposed to come to church if you got a cold, because what happens? Like I've got today. It's contagious. Everybody gets a cold, and you don't go to school if you got a fever because it's contagious, and everybody's going to get sick. That's right. Nothing's going to get sanitized. We're just a bunch of sickos. So what are we going to do? We're just going to come to church and cough? We're willing to spread our disease? We're willing to share that? Like sometimes we just say, I've got my itis, and I can't do it. Rather than looking at the other side and saying, no, I'm gifted by God, what's my role? I'm still breathing, what's my part in the mission? And maybe you used to love doing something and you can't do it anymore. So I'm beginning to understand that. Or maybe there's something you used to love to do with someone and that someone's not here anymore. I'm not saying don't forget the past, I'm just saying don't live there. You're present, so be present. This is today, so be in today. Be thankful and remember what God had did in the past and enjoy those good memories, but don't just stay there like life ended there. You've got life today. You've got the Spirit today. You've got the gift today. And so use that gift today. And so we can have an itis, or we can have an attitude that says, now what are you going to do about it? I've been served, and I'm going to use my gift to be of service to others. And so God has given us various gifts, every one of us, for the purpose of His mission. And God has served us so that in turn we would serve others. And there's a big picture to all this, though, and Paul gets to the end, or Peter gets to the end of that here in our last point today. And so let's go there. God has served us, third and last, to satisfy us and to glorify Himself. To satisfy us and to glorify Himself. See, God's the Creator, and God has built within His creation, you and I, to be full of joy. Right? To be full of Him. We talked about that last week. To be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. And so God has created us to be full of Him, to be satisfied in Him. And He's looking for us just to legitimately, genuinely worship Him. To praise Him. Not just sing a song because it's Sunday, or not just mouth a prayer because that's what Christians do, but because this is from my heart. This is who I am. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 kind of gives us a picture of how this all works out. I've been blessed to do something so that in turn God is praised. Matthew 5, 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Why are we shining? Why are we serving? Right, so that others will see, so that others will know there's a God. And so that in turn, they will praise God. We've all experienced this in our own life. When has somebody blessed you and your response was, thank you and thank you? You ever had that? Somebody showed up on your doorstep when you needed them and they gave you a hug and you said, thank you, God. All right, somebody showed up when you needed a hand. You said, oh, thank you. But in your spirit, too, you're, oh, thank you, God, because I needed that. That's how we're built here. God serves us so that we'll serve others so that in return, they won't say, hey, you're wonderful. They'll say, thank you, God. God gets the praise from that. God's the one who's going to receive the glory. See, there's this lingering in our soul. And let's read about this here. Verse 11, 1 Peter 4, there's a lingering in our soul that is not from people. It's brought by God through people. But ultimately, the credit goes to God. And so he says this, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him, then, be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. See, these things that linger in us are things from God. And so when you hear a good word, whether that's you read your Bible, who do you think? Do you thank Thomas Nelson for publishing a Bible you can read? We might thank God for a translation in our language, but ultimately we're going to thank God for His Word. You listen to a radio broadcast. You read a book. You're talking with a friend. You're in a class. You listen to a pastor. You don't just say things like, the pastor's so smart. No. Whose words does the pastor have? God's. Whose words do the teachers have? God's. Those you listen to on the radio, those who are writing these books about God, it's not like people got smart and came up about with something about God. It's that we're sharing God's word. I've told you before, if I had to stand here and give you advice from me, I would shake in my shoes. I'd have nothing to offer you, which I would feel like, you know, you should apply this to your life. And when I stand here with God's word, I have full confidence. I have boldness. It encourages me. I want you to hear this and get this so that you and I will walk out of here and live that way. Because it's His word. And so Peter writes and says, if you share words, remember they're God's words. They're not yours. And remember, if you have any ability whatsoever to serve, who's giving you the strength? God. So we praise God for the strength. The person we serve praises God that they've been served. In this cycle, God receives glory, and you and I are satisfied. All right? We're satisfied in Him, and He is glorified in Himself. Whatever we do, we've got to always remember the end goal is the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so God has served us so that we in turn would serve others, so those others would praise God. And so this morning, you've been served, and I've been served. God's word has clearly said some things to us, that everybody who's a believer has received a gift from God, and that gift is to flow through us, not stop in us. And that gift is to flow and serve others. And so ultimately that others will praise God. God receives the glory, and my soul rejoices or is satisfied or is glad in Him. I've got a gift, I've got a part to play, and I'm trying to play my part in the mission. Listen, there's nothing on the planet like living your life trying to fulfill God's plan. Nothing. You can try to make all the money you want. You can enjoy any hobby that the planet offers, but there's nothing like laying your head down at night going, God, thank you for letting me be a part of your plan, and I've tried to live today to the fullest to complete your mission. There's nothing like it. And so maybe there's some things that's working in your life. One of the things I really simply wonder is this. What's the gifts that you have? How has God gifted you? Think about what brings you joy. What brings you delight? What comes easy for you? Think about the experiences that you have. Think about the opportunities where you've been able to help somebody. Like, we're not self-made people. We're God-made. And He gifts us in ways to do things. Like, you people, you can do things I can never do. Why? Because that's how God made you. That's how God's gifted you. It doesn't make somebody better or worse. It doesn't make somebody higher or lower. It just means we're different. So what's your gift? Maybe today you just begin to pray a little more seriously, God, help me identify my gift. And then show me somebody who needs that. I mean, if you've given me this gift so that I can serve others, who needs to be served with the gift that I have? Maybe that's in partnership here with this church, or maybe that's just through you individually reaching out to a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, a stranger. It could be God prodding your heart to go do something. And we'd love to partner in that. So what's your gift? And then maybe it's, hey, God, will you show me somebody, send me to somebody who needs the gift that you've put in me. Maybe for you today, it's just a reminder that you've been gifted. It's not about too small, too old, too young, not enough. It's not about the itis. It's about my God. And He's gifted us to accomplish His mission. So what's my part? Maybe today it's just a commitment. I will do my part. I'm not a pew anchor, and this has its place, but there's so much more to it. This is just an hour on Sunday. What about the other 167 that happen outside this wall per week? Maybe for you today, it's God, here I am. Whatever my gift is, you just use me.